You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. It's not warm when she's away. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. And she's always gone too long. Anytime she goes away.
Ah, the breakup song. Is
wonder
your artist of
this
the day.
Time where she's gone.
Bill Withers. That's a good one.
Wonder if she's gone to stay.
I don't know if you guys had a chance to watch it over the weekend, but the NBA All-Star game was played over the weekend. Big tributes to Kobe Bryant, as you can imagine.
Yes.
It was announced also over the weekend that he is a finalist for the Hall of Fame in his first year of eligibility. He's clearly going to get in and should. But it was not the game that is leading on social media. Here we go again.
Stop trying to make the national anthem your own.
It was the Star Spangled Banner that was sung at the game by Chaka Khan.
Oh, say, can you see the dawn's early light?
So far, okay.
Oh, so proudly we hailed as the twilight's last gleaming.
Why are we going so low?
Whose broad stripes and bright stars?
It's not bad.
So far, okay.
It is a song that challenges the range of many singers.
Oh, the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets rang glad.
I think that's a little sharp. I got sharp there for a second.
Prove through the night that our flag was still there.
I've heard enough.
Oh, the good stuff's coming.
Okay, though, there's more.
Nope, no, that was it. The video cut off after that.
When you look at this in audio editor, Scott, so for those of you listening, it looks a little bit like a heart monitor. Toward the end, even audio editor was going, what is happening right here? I did not think it was that bad. There are a couple of sections toward the end where I think she tried to do something creative. And we've seen this happen again and again. And last year, was it Fergie who did this last year?
2018, I think it was.
Skewered for whatever that was.
Why would anybody agree to sing that song at any event? Unless you just know you're going to own it.
But it can be done, and we've seen it.
Well, but with Whitney Houston, it was pre-recorded, we now know.
Stunning.
Who did it for the Super Bowl?
Demi Lovato. Gave me chills.
She crushed it. She crushed
it. It's always when people try to make it different. I want this to stand out. Where I would say you actually don't. When it's the national anthem, you don't want to stand out.
Right. Is it true that that's the song that is most often people forget the words to? Or is that only because it's sang so often?
Probably because
you're doing it in front of a huge crowd.
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't think they forget it because they forget it. I think you forget it because there's... You know, when you're doing it in a public place, there are tens of thousands of people watching
and
you do it.
And millions of people at home.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think you forget it because, oh, I just forgot the lyrics. You forget it because even the biggest superstar gets a little nervous every once in a while.
I'll tell you this. Between the two of them, I think Fergie's was worse. And then the all-time worst was the one with the drums, Scott.
I'm looking it up right now. It was The Fray.
And I love The Fray.
And when the Russians hacked our system, that one got knocked out as well. So I'll find it.
That's good, because I don't know that anyone needs to relive that rendition.
It was awful.
I mean, it was just awful. And they even admitted afterwards.
And that was at the NCAA.
Yeah.
I think it was at the Final Four.
They admitted afterwards we should not have attempted to go rogue with the national anthem.
Of our national anthem.
Yeah, this one's bad. This one's really bad.
Remember that it was the guitar that was out of tune.
It wasn't just the guitar. Turn it up. Let's hear more of that
crap. It's so bad. Not good.
Yeah,
it's not good.
Not the worst.
They panned to Bill Self, and he just looks confused.
Dude, bring up Roseanne's too easy. Bring up Carl Lewis doing the national anthem. I can't remember where he was, but that's one of the classics.
Didn't he just stop?
He just
stopped.
Yeah. Well, he didn't stop, but he said something in the middle, and I can't remember what it was, but it was just so because he knows it's a complete disaster.
Scott, don't you know going in, you either can sing that song and you do have that range, and Chaka Khan clearly has the range, know going in that you cannot do that song and you do not have the range.
Yeah,
it's one or the other. You don't agree to sing that song if you kind of think maybe you can pull it off.
For the ramparts we watch.
So far, so good.
We're so gallant. Streaming.
I bet.
And the Rockets. Red flag.
Uh-oh. That's my favorite part.
I'd forgotten about that.
Was that him?
Here's my question. You know going in that you cannot hit that note. Why would you agree to sing the national anthem?
A lot of people don't know. They don't realize, this is going to tax all the ranges in my singing or lack of.
Talent, please streaming. And the Rockets. Red flag.
It's my favorite of all time because at least he's like laughs and acknowledges it. This is not going well.
Sorry, I'm crying.
There were other people online, by the way, about Chaka Khan saying she is a legend.
She is a legend.
And we will not throw stones at a legend.
Really?
I just think with that particular performance and song,
she's a legend because she remade a Prince song.
If everyone just played it safe and just sang it the way it is, we wouldn't have anything to talk about when it comes to the national anthem.
Well, I'm thinking that if you can sing it in the way that it's intended, and
which is how Whitney Houston sang it.
Yeah.
You don't typically deal in that. You don't sing in that type of music. If you can do it the way that it's supposed to be, that would be even more impressive.
Isn't it true that the Royals, if you're going to sing it there, there are auditions for that.
You know who has sang the national anthem for the Royals many times?
Yeah.
Is E.J. Becker.
I've heard that.
Mm-hmm.
I know more than one person that's done it, but I think you can't just be like, I'll do it.
EJ has a wonderful singing voice. Really, really good. And he...
I didn't know it was that good.
He's good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but no, they audition you. You don't just walk out one day and go,
uh-oh.
Here comes Dana Wright. Hey, I'm the Rocket. Uh-oh. No, they don't play
that
game.
Was the rest of it okay? I thought he stopped. I don't know why I remember him thinking he stopped.
Can we play the rest of it?
He just said, I'm not going to hit that note.
The bombs bursting in air gave proof through the night.
Now he's just rushing through it.
That a black was still there.
It's okay.
I'll make up for it now.
Spangled Banner get waved for the land.
Here comes the tough part.
The free.
Yeah, take the easy route.
Bring it down a notch.
And the home of the brave.
Well, that was good. He made up for it.
At least he was funny about it.
It's kind of like bringing a guy or a gal off the street and say, hey, want to sing the national anthem? Here's a microphone.
Yeah, the answer's no. If anyone ever asks you that, the answer's no. I'm
here,
good.
Here, I'll get EJ on the horn.
Would he ever sing it, or could, does he have a recording of him singing it? I would love to hear that.
I don't know. Let's find out. I mean, I know that he has sung it several times.
And we'll find out during the break.
I'll send him a text. Have him call the hotline. 576-7798. We'll see if we can't land EJ Becker. I know he is new with child, he and his wife Stephanie. So I said call EJ. No. Can you call the hotline? Sorry. Trying to do two things at once. Dan Weinbaum, Sam Stevie the Third, Dana Ridham, Scott Parks on KMBZ.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light?
A tough gig to pull off.
What so proudly we hailed.
It's fair to say that Chaka Khan did not succeed over the weekend.
Yeah. Two-thirds of it was fine. It was the other third.
That's usually what brings you down.
This is Lady Gaga at Super Bowl 50.
Yeah, she was good. She was really good. Somebody who has sung the national anthem a time or two at Kauffman Stadium for the Royals is EJ Becker, KMBZ's EJ Becker. EJ, good afternoon, and thank you for joining us on short notice.
Oh, you're very welcome. You're very welcome. Good morning. Or good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
Good morning on the radio, sorry. Yeah.
How many times have you sung the national anthem at Kauffman Stadium?
At Kauffman Stadium, probably 3, 4, maybe 5 over the years.
And you do have to audition, right? So they don't just allow anyone that says, oh, I'll sing it, to show up and sing it.
Yes, every time. It didn't matter that it was the third year in a row, the fourth year in a row. Every time before they booked me, I had to send them a recording of me singing it to prove I could actually sing it. And then, when you get there, before you go out to sing it, they take you into the tunnel, you know, the tunnel back where you would get into the dugouts and all that.
Yeah.
They take you back there, and you sing it for them right there as well.
No way.
They put a stopwatch on you to make sure that you do it in under 90 seconds.
Under 90
it's
seconds?
It's timed?
Yeah. You got to... They don't want you to get up there and do the Super Bowl 2 minutes and 22 seconds sort of thing. You've got to get up there, and you've got to be able to do it in the allotted time, and then you go.
Now tell the truth. Every time that you've done it, was it live?
Well, sure.
You never had a recording?
No, I'm not famous or spectacular or anything like that. No, they forced me. You got to do it live.
Were you ever nervous?
I'm always nervous, sure.
At what age did you know, EJ, that that's something you could do? Because it's something very few people can do well.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I was singing the national anthem at AAA baseball games or at Pan America games, that sort of thing, in high school. So it's one of those. I think it's one of those things where if you're a singer and you're a competent singer, you don't worry about it too much. The national anthem to me has always been difficult because everybody tells you it's difficult.
Mm.
You know the tune, so you don't have to worry about the tune. You pretty much know the words, so all you're concentrating on, at least to me, all I'm concentrating on is the technique to make sure that I'm doing what I need to do to hit the high notes so I don't screw them up and look like an idiot. And the rest of the time, it's just trying to keep, this is not a joke, this is serious, trying to keep the police squad version out of my head when I get to the part that's bunch of bombs in the air, gave proof through the night that we still had a flag. That's the hard part for me is forgetting those lyrics that Leslie Nielsen sang and not laughing during the national anthem.
Do you write down the lyrics just in case, EJ, or do you know?
No, I don't.
Can you give us just two lines singing it?
Why
not?
Because
that?
I've never heard you do it. I didn't know that you were that good.
You do it for tens of thousands of people at Kauffman Stadium. Do it for 10 people on KMBZ.
You got more than that right now. It's 3:30 for goodness sake. Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light? That's two lines.
That's not bad. That's better than I can do. That's good.
That's just sitting in a car driving down the street. Imagine if I were actually warmed up and standing there and in good voice.
Did your do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do and all that stuff?
Well, if you're doing it and you're taking it seriously, yeah. I mean, I'm warmed up, ready to perform when it's time to go. I mean, that's for real. I mean, it's the real thing. You're standing there in front of all those people, and if you screw it up, you look like an idiot. They'll be nice to you if you do, but still, I never, ever make fun of anybody doing the national anthem because karma.
Yeah, yeah.
We do because we don't plan on singing it.
EJ, they've never said something like, don't call us, we'll call you.
No, I've never gotten that. No.
I'm kidding. You have an amazing singing voice, and like I said earlier, so few people can do that and do it well.
But I'll tell you, there is nothing, and Scott, you've performed, and Dana, you know as well, there is nothing like the rush of a live performance like that. Even if it's just the national anthem, it's still.
Well, I wouldn't say just the national anthem. That is a big deal, and if you can do it well, hats off.
Hey, brother, we got to get to the news. You know what that's all about, but thank you for joining us. It was good to hear your voice.
You got it, guys. We'll see you soon.
All right, you take care. All the best to the family.
That you settled down, that you found a girl and you're married now. I heard that your dreams came
Adele.
True.
Guess she you're on Dana and Parks. Happy President's Day, everyone. I didn't give to story you. Here from the Kansas City Star. In deciding how the Raytown School District would teach students what to do should an intruder with a gun enter their building, Travis Hux was reminded of a school drill that rattled students several years ago. Hux, by the way, is the assistant superintendent of support services in Raytown. He was an assistant principal in the early 2000s working in a small Missouri town. And he decided he would create a real-to-life scenario there to show students how serious a school fire might be. Hux said he had smoke machines and emergency responders with helicopters showing up. He even had students who were in on the reenactment rolled away on stretchers. Hux said he went so far because he believed students had grown so accustomed to fire drills that he worried the drills weren't being taken seriously anymore. But that lifelike drill, he said, proved to be too much. Hux said that while he was trying to make it entertaining, it was too emotional for many students and even some of the adults. He said the students, many of them, were in tears. Huck says he feels the same way about putting students through full-out active shooter drill simulations that include air gun shootings, fake blood, and a pretend masked intruder roaming the school hallways. In a report out this month, the American Federation of Teachers and the NEA, two of the largest such unions, joined every town for gun safety in calling for schools to reevaluate the use of active shooter drill simulations. According to the National Center for Education Statistics, about 95% of the nation's public schools, including schools here in Kansas City, conduct some form of regular active shooter safety drill. The drills, by the way, are required in 40 of the 50 states. Teachers are saying it's too much. The NEA and other unions are saying it is too much.
Scott, I'm torn.
Okay. Tell me why.
Because I think you can do it in a manner. Let's take the fire drill example. You can do meaningful fire drills with your children at home while the kids are in school that don't terrify the crap out of everyone, so that you are still being mindful about what you would do during an emergency without completely freaking everyone out, okay? And I'm curious if there are ways that they could do these drills where they would still be impactful so that you are learning something without the full-on SWAT guys coming in with the rubber bullets. Do you remember we had teachers call in, in the last couple of years, over the summer, some of our listeners did training where they made it as realistic as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one of the reasons this came up is because there were signs outside one of the schools saying, FYI, we are doing training. So if you hear what sounds like gunshots, don't freak out and call 911. We are doing a lifelike training with the teachers.
Right.
Now, I'm guessing if you're a teacher and you've been through 8 or 10 of these, you're sick of it. You don't want to go through the terrifying, real flashbang sounding stuff. Is there a way that they can do some training to keep everyone prepared just in case, where it's not the full SWAT gear kind of stuff? Or if you change it, is it meaningless to do it?
Forgive me if I sound insensitive, but it was always my understanding that when there is an active shooter in a school, and it happens more than it should, but if you really look at the total number of schools and the number of times it happens, it is a fraction of a fraction. That notwithstanding, I've always been under the impression, correct me if I'm wrong, that the goal is to secure the children within the classroom. It's not to leave the room, correct?
I don't know, Scott. And I don't want to guess, and here's why. The thought and the training has changed.
Okay.
You know, in the beginning, those kids were bleeding out and dying at Columbine because authorities were not yet trained to rush in. You got to wait for SWAT. Remember that? And kids were dying
and
waiting.
That was one of the first of the first.
Well, but adults in the Pulse nightclub shooting died waiting for them to come in. And so the training over the years, as we learn from these things that we live with in America, the training has changed. And so I don't want to say what the latest training says, because what I do know is that it has changed.
Mm. As late as 5 years ago, or as most recent as 5 years ago, it was lockdown drills where, yes, you huddled in the classroom
and pretended you weren't there.
Yeah,
sorry to interrupt, Sam. The idea is not to rush these kids into a hallway where the active shooter might be. And so if the goal is just simply to secure the classroom, why do we have to get so Hollywood dramatic?
Well, because, Scott, I think the goal was to secure the classroom, and then Sandy Hook happened, and he came into the classroom. And when you are hiding, you are a sitting duck.
But he came into a classroom that was not locked.
Well, if you have a gun, I don't really know why that matters.
Well, I mean, there are ways to secure the door.
Yeah.
Where
he would have to blow his way through. And to your credit, I think schools have tried those things. We've seen over the summer, these schools have all been re-entered. Construction has happened where, you know, you don't have the huge panel of glass right in the front office.
Mm-hmm.
They've re-entered these schools so that it is harder, theoretically.
You can't see the secretary from the front door.
They've added panic buttons. They've added police officers.
You have to be buzzed in.
Yes.
Yeah, all that stuff.
Yes. But I'm curious, you know, what does the latest round of training say? And is there a way to do it so it's not so panicked? And you remember, Scott, this happened in Lawrence several months ago where there was a rumor going around that there was an active shooter. And do you remember what happened in Lawrence? This was maybe three months ago.
I remember the story. I don't remember what happened.
A dad who was nearby,
yes, I
would have done the exact same thing, make no mistake, went to one of the side windows with a brick, smashed through the window, and started hauling kids out of that school for their safety. And there were several kids that were cut by glass on the way out.
Yeah, I don't think that was three. I think that was like a year ago.
And it turned out it was a miscommunication. The assistant principal or the acting principal accidentally used the code word, whatever their code word was, saying this is not a drill, which created absolute panic
among teachers, among kids.
Yep. And then this dad shows up, screw this, I'm getting him out, which I said at the time, you know, police come up then, sirens blaring, and they see this man bursting through a side school window. What's going to happen?
Well, he's going to get shot.
He's going to be shot.
He's now the school
shooter. I don't know what the answer is.
576-7798. Ernest in Independence. Hello, Ernest.
Hey, guys. I got a quick question. Is it 9 times out of 10 a shooter, one of the students? So if we're teaching the students how to do the active shooter drills, wouldn't we teach the bad student how to get around their shooting or, you know, how to get around everything? You're teaching one of the shooters in the classroom right now how to get around it. So, yeah, it sounds all fine and dandy if you have an active shooter drill, but the active shooter is the kids. So wouldn't you just teach them how to get around it?
So, Ernest, do you train the teachers only then and not the kids, and you just tell the kids to follow our directions specifically if this happens?
Yeah, I'd say I'd rather do that than just teach the kids how to use the active shooter drill. My kids are scared to death when they do an active shooter drill, personally, you know, and I don't know. It just seems like it's a little too much. And we didn't have active shooter drills before Columbine. Maybe we just teach the teachers how to handle with the situation, and we'd be fine that way.
Well, Ernest, two thoughts. Number one, the reason we didn't do active shooter drills was because there weren't a lot of school shootings prior to Columbine. In fact, there were very few. Nowadays, kids don't get under the desk for the nuclear bomb attack drill that we had to do back in the 1970s and 80s. Times have changed.
And was that scary? Because I'll tell you what, it wasn't.
It wasn't going to save
my
life. It
wasn't going to save anyone's life. No, I mean, in the event of a nuclear attack,
well,
if you think hiding under a 4-pound desk was going to save anyone, but yet we did it back then.
Here's what I have learned over my 48 years that super overheated radioactive material hates is a fake wood desk. I mean, that is like repellent to radioactive material, is the fake wood desk that lifts up with 4 metal legs.
It works.
I always wondered back then if there was ever a science teacher who was like, okay.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know
time.
What? We're not.
Dana,
we're not doing this.
We were
this.
In fifth grade, looking at each other under the desk at Fort Hood, going, "This ain't gonna work. We're dead."
Then there was the kid with the really powerful imagination who thought there was some kind of force field, and that was his safe place.
But we did it.
You'd be better to go outside and just chug a
beer.
Do you
remember the tornado drills? Into the hallway, duck down, facing the wall, hand over your heads.
Because you know what a tornado hates? A hallway.
Well,
and your forearms, man, they'll stop anything.
But Scott, so the
like
training,
shards of glass.
Yeah, the training wasn't going to help for that tornado drill. Do you know what did help? Building better buildings.
True, but Ernest does have a really strong point in that most school shooters are either current or former members of that school. Are you not basically giving away the playbook? And that's a damn good question.
I think you put police officers in the front area of every school, and that is the biggest deterrent.
I would agree with you. I believe a police car sitting in the parking
lot
at every
there.
Public school is a huge deterrent. Where does the money come from? Because take Overland Park. Just as an example, how many schools do you think are in Overland Park? Because it's over 20.
We have several of Overland Park's finest in our high school.
But there are, when you factor in elementary schools.
They are tanks.
Yeah, they are. When you factor in elementary schools, middle schools, all the high schools, just in Overland Park, you're talking, what, 15 to 20 schools?
It's a lot of officers.
That's 15 to 20 officers you're going to have to hire or cut back on street duty. And what do you prefer? The school shooting that is highly unlikely to ever happen at your kid's public school or the speeder going down Metcalf that happens every single day?
I want them both.
Okay. Then that's going to cost money. A lot of money. Like millions of extra dollars. 576-7798. Don't forget, we're at Bogey's Windy City Pub this Friday. 2 to 6, be an honor and a privilege to spend that Friday afternoon with you.
And if you're a teacher on the line, please hang on, because we got a lot of you wanting to weigh in, and we are going to get to every single one of you.
576-7798.
Suckers walk, money talks, but it can't touch my 3-lock box.
Ooh.
877-767-7798. We're short on time, so let's get to them. Becky in Lansing. Hello, Becky.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hi.
Going well. Thank you.
Good. I'm a teacher in Lansing, and we have a protocol that we use that I think is really, really great because it empowers our students to make the decision for themselves, especially if there's an active shooter, you know, like during a passing period or during lunchtime. They come on and use very plain language, so there's no secret codes, there's no giving away anything. Let's say there's an active shooter in the office. They'll come on and say, active shooter in the office, lock down, and then the kids or the teachers have to decide what's best for them. If they're in an area of the school where they can get out, we're encouraged to get out and go to another safe location.
Yeah.
So, like, my students know, we're in a part of the building that's way away from everybody else. So they know if they come on and say, active shooter, unless they stay right by our classroom, we're getting out, and we're going to the police station, or we're going to the library. We have yet to do a drill during, like, lunchtime or anything like that, but I know that's something that we've planned on doing, because then that's really one of the chaotic times when kids are passing, and there's no direct supervision to tell them, you need to go here, or you need to do this, and they have to make that decision. And I think it really helps us as teachers give our kids the opportunity to make the decision that they need to make that's best for them.
What do you teach, elementary, middle, or high school?
Middle school and high school.
Middle school.
But we use it through all of our buildings.
I mean, kind of tough, though, wouldn't you think, Becky, for a first grader or a second grader to decide what's best for them in a situation like that?
Well, they're going to be under more direct supervision most of the day than the middle schoolers. I mean, they don't have passing periods. When they go to lunch, they have a teacher that's taking them to lunch, or they have lunch supervisors. So those guys are going to have a little bit more direct supervision to tell them where to go, whereas middle school kids, you know, when they're doing passing period, they're on their own, and they have to know where to go. So, but for the most part, you know, it also applies to kids that, you know, let's say they're going to the bathroom during the middle of a class period, and an active shooter drill comes on, they've got to know what to do without a teacher telling them what to do. And I think it really helps.
Oh, I have fat fingers. I'm so sorry. I have fat fingers. Becky, thank you for the call. Really do appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at kmbz.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.